What a joy it is now we continue to celebrate His blessing. And us together as a church family now rejoice and worship Him as our Lord here the second Sunday. I just want to encourage you to open your Bibles to the book of Joshua chapter 5. And we are going to read two passages together. Hopefully it will help you understand that this Word of God is alive and it is relevant to our lives and it is applicable in our lives even today and even now. Chapter 5, verse 14 through chapter 6, verse 5. Those that have found those scriptures, would you stand in honor of reading God's words together? Let us do that. Chapter 5, actually beginning with verse 13, it reads, "Now when Joshua," let's read it all together in unison. "Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, 'Are you for us or for our enemies?' 'Neither,' he replied. 'But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come.' Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, 'What message does my Lord have for his servant?' The commander of the Lord's army replied, 'Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy.' And Joshua did so. Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times, with the priests blowing the trumpet. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpet, have all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse, and the people will go up, every man straight in.'" Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you once again. And in front of you and in front of all my brothers and sisters here today, I praise you. Because truly you are worthy of all our praise and our honor, and all glory is due you. Father, what a marvelous God that we know and that we serve. Yet so oftentimes lives get complicated and the world brings us in. And we forget about the great and marvelous and powerful God that we have. Father, today may you help us to open our eyes and help us to review the history, the time when you showed your people the power and the might of your strength. That Father, today as we come to know better about what the real understanding of success is in life, that we will come to know you in a more powerful way that is both personal and real. And I pray for your blessing to be on each and every one of us here today, worshiping you, desiring you to gain understanding from you, so that our lives is changed and blessed because of who you are. It is in Christ's name that I pray, and that all God's people say, Amen. Please be seated. In the sermon outline that I have in the bulletin, I ask you a question. Do you want to be successful? I guess everybody wants to. I guess how do you define success is perhaps another way of asking the same question. What do you consider to be successful in your life? The answer may depend on the people you are asking. Because the word success is a tough word to define. Some of us perhaps would think that they are successful perhaps more successful than others think they are. Or some of us perhaps dictate how successful you are just by what you think you are. How would you define success? Perhaps for some of us who is working, we'll be lucky enough just to say, I just make through another day, and that is successful enough. Or perhaps for some of us who is business owners, and we will say, you know, if I can keep my business profitable and my organization effective and efficient, that's successful enough. Perhaps others would think, okay, I want to try to maintain the relationships with my friends and with my families and with my coworkers. That seems to be a pretty good definition also of success. What would you define success? Perhaps you have in your mind a relative term of success because you tend to always measure the success by comparing to the people maybe next to you. I see some head turning now. Or perhaps, and the tendency of that is when you compare to someone else favorably, it sometimes leads to pride because you feel like you're successful. And yet, in the other case, when you compare unfavorably to the one next to you, it leads to unnecessary self-depreciation and self-pityness. So what is really the term of success? How would you define success? Once you know what is success, then you would know if you want to be successful. Perhaps it should be good enough for someone to say this, oh, I wouldn't change anything. I enjoy my personal life. I have great relationship with my friends, with my family, with my children. I have a pretty good life and I'm enjoying helping with the other people. That sounded like a pretty good summary of what it means to be successful, wouldn't it? How would you define success? Once you know your measure of success, then do you want to be successful? Well, with those questions being asked now, I'm going to share with you a different kind of success. The real kind of success, actually, that will not only matter, but that it will last eternally. What kind of success I'm talking about? The kind of success that you just read on a story on Joshua. And let's review this story just a little bit to see how we can redefine success and align our lives against the word of God in such a way that we will find that the success has a lot more to do than just this earthly life, but that there is a very special purpose for us to be in here and to be here today. Let's notice that in the chapter 5, verse 13, it is a time when Joshua at this time is getting ready to lead the people of Israelites into the battle. This is a battle against the strongest city of Jericho. You need to know that the beginning of the next day, he will be leading the people of Israel to start this battle and conquer the city of Jericho, and then following that is the city of Ai, and then following that is a series of battles that he is going to lead the people of Israel in the years to come until they conquer the whole promised land of Canaan. And here is Joshua walking nearby the city of Jericho, which is this very, very fortified city. It's the most difficult city to conquer
in the whole land of Canaan at that time. If there's a city that is fortified with strong ramparts and walls, and he was here surveying that city, and here comes a person he didn't know with a drawn sword in his hand. And so the question that he asked the person is, are you for us or for our enemies? You will ask the same questions, wouldn't you, when you are getting ready to go into a battlefield. You always want to identify when someone approaches you, and in here he was wondering if this person is for him or against him. But the interesting answer that the Lord gave to him was neither. He wasn't for him, he wasn't against him, but what is the title that he replied himself to be? The commander of the army of the Lord. It is so interesting that up to this point you need to realize that Joshua has been the commander of the Lord's army. He was leading the people of Israelites as the new leader, now going into the promised land, taking over this land that God has promised that the people of Israelites will have. And he has been the commander of the Lord's army. He has been the leader up to this point. But once he recognized and discovered that there is a commander of the Lord's army who is mightier than he immediately understands and fall in humility and recognize the necessary respect for the Lord that now he encountered. The real commander of the Lord's army said that now I have come. That's a huge turning point for the life of Joshua, where he recognized that the true leader of the people of Israelites is the Lord himself, who is now the commander and who is now ready to stand ready to fight for the people of Israel in the many battles to come. Like I said, Jericho was the most heavily fortified city in the land of Canaan, and no one has ever conquered that city up to this point. And if you were as human as Joshua, and as I am, and as everybody would know, perhaps there's only two ways to conquer the city of Jericho. You either break through the walls or you climb over them. That would be what you would be doing up to that point in time, each time you come to the battle and you want to conquer a city with strong walls. But what is interesting is that the way of this commander of the Lord's army is quite different. He will conquer the city of Jericho in a very unusual way. It didn't require much on the human part. If you recall the whole army of the Israelites, all they were asked to do was what? You march around the city once every day. And you march it for 6 days, once every day. And on the seventh day, you march around it 7 times. And then, what do you need to do? Just give it a loud shot. Easy enough to conquer a city of Jericho. Can human do it? There's no way. Can God do it? Yes, he can. That's exactly what he did. You see, it is not Joshua's job, nor was his strength to fight and win the city of Jericho. It was God himself who caused the fortified walls of the city of Jericho to fall. And all that the people of Israel needs to do was to just walk through those rubbles and go straight in
to claim the city of Jericho. You see, the Lord's battle is quite different than man's. When we see God's leadership over His people, when we understand His power and His lordship over our lives, and certainly over the life of His church, that we will be able to allow Him to lead us and guide us, and then we become the stewards of whatever He has entrusted us with. Your lives and my lives, your gifts and talents and my gifts and talents, we all become the stewards of whatever that He has given us, and we just need to follow His command. It's interesting that when Joshua reversed the roles with the commander of the Lord's army, when he didn't say, "I am the commander of the Lord's army," when he chose to let go that role to the Lord, that the effects of it was that he just followed God, and that all the people of Israelites do the same. Are you willing and are you ready to let God take control of your life? Is there things where you would want to take control on your own? You see, when God wants to take control of your life, being the commander of the Lord's army, being the Lord and Savior of your life, being one that has proved Himself faithful and strong, that if you are ready to reverse the roles with Him and let Him take control of your life will be transformed, and you would experience miraculous and powerful way that He can do in your life. Aren't you confident that He can bring out more from your life than if you were going to do it on your own? In a little bit, we will address about the confidence issue, how we know for certain that God can do better than if we were going to hold on to our own lives ourselves. But to be truly successful, the number one point in this sermon is that, like what Joshua did, we must reverse the roles with God. We must let go the control over our lives to the hands of God if we want to experience fully of His power. Here Joshua did exactly what God told him, the role that he needs to play. But in order for that to happen, the second point is just as important, is the commitment. You see, to truly give God the control, to truly let God take lead of your life, personally and corporately as a church, we must learn to follow Him exactly as He commands us. You see, if the people of Israelites don't circle and march that city of Jericho exactly once a day and do it the 7 times on the 7th day and give a loud shout at the end, if people of Israelites are not led to do exactly as the Lord commands, there will not be the effect of the force of the city of Jericho. You see, all of the true commitments always is a result of an absolute obedience to the Lord and following His commands to the letters. See, Joshua was humble. When he sees the Lord and the commander of the Lord's army, what he first questioned was to inquire, and he said, "What message does the Lord have for His servant?" In verse 14, chapter 5. That's one of the questions he asked. He knew that God has a message for him and that he was going to follow whatever the message that the Lord was going to tell him. He humbled himself in such a way that he take off his sandals because that was a holy land. He fall face down because that was the proper way to show respect at that time. Just like when we stood up and we read the Bible at this time, that's just our way of showing our respect. And he fell face down just to seek God's requirements at that point in time. We must heed the word of God and the message that he is delivering us. If we don't seek him and search him and allow for his words to be our guidance and allow for his message to speak to us, we will not experience the miraculous way of a success in our life. Unless you settle your life for the kind of success that is human, for the kind of success that's what you can manage, for the kind of success that comes as the common sense. If you want to experience the success of the kind that God wants you to experience in miraculous ways, then you have to heed his word and his message. You have to try to understand. How do you do that? In the other days, I saw such an ad and I felt it was interesting because U.S. Postal Service have the statistics and shows that every household spend an average of 30 minutes going through the mail. They take great pride in saying that. And I tell you, I wish that I can take the pride to say that every family, every man in TIBC, every believer, in fact, to that extent, will spend 30 minutes going through the Bible every day. Do we have the devotional time? Do we have the Bible study time? Do we have the time when we spend in a quality manner with our Lord? You see, if we don't even read the Bibles and seek him and pray to him and ask him to reveal to us what is his word and message for us for the day and for the times to come, how can we then understand his will for our life? We must follow that and do it just as Joshua did. See, in verse 15, what Joshua did was just exactly what the Lord, the commander of the Lord's army, asked him to do. And for us to do what he wants us to do, we have no other option but to seek his word and to make the commitments to find his will for our lives. The commitment is very important. Without the commitment, we will not accept the third step of challenge. The third step of challenge, as Joshua has also gone through, is afraid, fear. You see, when and if the Lord reveals his will for your life, it always requires costly adjustments. It will do that. Let me assure you. And some of us would choose to say, okay, God, thank you for the will for my life, and I'll do it no matter what. But some will become fearful as to what the Lord will be doing in your life. And what would be your answer when if the Lord revealed his will to you? You see, knowing and doing the will of God in your life sometimes not only require costly adjustments, but it will lead you to adversarial situations. Joshua certainly, in his lifetime at this particular time, need to go through a series of battles, like I mentioned to you, for many years in order to fully conquer the land of Canaan, which God has blessed his people with. In a little bit, we will look at another story where he will be facing another major battle in his life and the lives of people of Israelites when he's fighting against five nations in alliance.
And he knew that there would be costly adjustments. There would be situations that they would be put in adversity, situations where it seems impossible. If you truly want to know and do the will of God, it will require you of that. There is a very interesting English proverb that talks about adversity, and it says that the smooth sea never made a skilled mariner. A smooth sea never made a skilled mariner. Mariner. How to say? Mariner, okay. Well, not mariner, the Andes mariner. But someone that is an expert in understanding the ocean and the nature of the sea. So you go through the storms and turbulence of all kinds of sea conditions in order to become an experienced mariner. Mariner. Thank you. And so all of the adversities in the lives and in the challenges ahead of Joshua, he knew that unless he fully committed to the Lord and followed to his message exactly as he says it, then the battles will be in the Lord's hand. He will fight for his people. The Lord will be fighting for the people of Israel. You see, Joshua was fully convinced that God was able to deliver his people. When he was following Moses, if you recall, he was a personal witness of the 10 plagues that God inflicted on the Egyptians. He has witnessed the drowning of the whole Egyptian army in the Red Sea when it was parted. He was fully confident, and he knew that there were enough miracles that he had seen that he knew the Lord will deliver and is more than able. And in addition to all of these experiences, if you recall, at this moment, just a week ago before the fighting for the city of Jericho, there was a parting of the Jordan River under his own leadership over into this new land of Canaan. There are enough power and miracles that he has experienced in God, the Lord, or the commander of the Lord's army, that he knows in full confidence that he can follow God no matter what. When if God truly reveals his will for your life right now, today, for what you'll be doing in the next steps, are you going to be confident enough in God who is able to lead you, to change you, to guide you, to fight for you? Are you going to be like Joshua when you are facing a new challenges in your life? And in that challenge, you either experience the kind of success that God would want you to experience, as it is God allowed for Joshua and the people of Israelites to experience in the miraculous way of fighting and winning over the city of Jericho? Or are you going to settle your life for the kind of success that we started out with by asking each of you, where do you see success? Is it the common sense success? Is it the earthly success? Is it the kind of things that you want to do that you are able to do, and that you would just tag along whatever the lives is leading you to do? Or when if God truly reveals his will for you, and at this time, I don't know what you are facing in the way of challenges, perhaps you are having challenges in how you deal with a person you love relationally. Perhaps you are facing a new job. Perhaps you are questioning and wondering where you need to fit in into the ministry. Perhaps you are, whatever challenges and difficulty you may be facing right now, and the will of God says, you do this. Are you going to follow that? Because following His will and doing His will require that we fully commit to Him and that we truly follow to the letter as to what His commandments to us, and that we will not be fearful of what He is calling us to do. That's the kind of success that you must question yourself and wonder if you are going to be confident in the Lord to do that. If you flip the pages to the chapter 10 of the same book of Joshua, and we will read a few more verses in verse 8 and then 12 through 14. In the book of Joshua, chapter 10, verse 8, the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you." That is the promise of the word of God to Joshua. And it continues on in here. Now remember, this is another major battle that Joshua and his people were facing. And on that day, on verse 12, the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel. Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, "Oh sun, stand still over Gibeon. Oh moon, over the valley of Ajalon." So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself on its enemies, as it is written in the book of Joshua. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There has never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a man. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. Isn't that amazing that the sun will hold and the moon will stop for a full day if a man would do the will of God? You see, the Lord that we know and that we serve is not subject to the Lord of nature or the Lord of signs. So oftentimes it is our faith that limits God. This is not just a story. This is not just a makeup. What we have just read was true. It happened that the sun and the moon will hold for a whole day in order for the people of Israelites to win the battle. And if God, being the God of Creator and the universe, certainly the God over the Lord of nature, being a God of supernatural power, is willing to go to that extent for you, to go to that extent for you personally and for you as a church or a body of believers, here in that case for the people of Israel, God is willing to do anything if we would yield our hearts to Him and truly understand His will and be willing to do His will without fear. You see, guilt feeling or fear did not come from God, but the sadness that is in our heart or the fear in our hearts that stop away from us His will is something that we have to overcome if we want to truly experience the power of God. His love for His people is so great that He is willing. Here it says on that verse that there is one day when God will listen to a man. The sun, verse 14, chapter 10. There has never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a man. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. If you today will be willing to open your heart and say, God, thank you for your love for me. Thank you for all that you have led me to be where I am right now. And I want to know your will. I want to follow your will. I want to do everything that you want me to do. If you are willing to be an empty vessel, you are willing to say, I'm going to empty myself and I want to follow you. Our God is such a God that He is willing to go beyond the law of nature, the law of the universe. He is the creator of the universe. He is willing to go across all kinds of boundaries just for you. If you are willing to empty yourself and say, I want to serve you. That's the kind of success that you should be looking for as a child of God. A success, as I concluded in the conclusion, that should be redefined as to the extent that you are committed to let God use your gifts and talents in fulfilling His will for your life, in His way. Today in Derby, we want to have a time of invitation. And perhaps among us, some people are still seeking the Lord and wonder who He really is. I hope that through these two stories that I see, at least you see, that God truly is a God Almighty. He created the universe. He created you. And He loves you personally. You may not have known Him yet fully, but He knows everything about you. If you are seeking the Lord, if you want to know who He is, and yet perhaps you are in a situation like many others that perhaps is downcast, perhaps has a lot of challenges, perhaps have fears in your heart, perhaps you have wondered why you need God. This God that we serve and know is one that is great and almighty. And if you would let go, if you would say, God, I want you to take control of my life, if you would say, thank you, Jesus, for the way that you have died on the cross and to pay for my sins and for the sins of the whole world, that if you would recognize that, confess it with your mouth, believe it in your heart that Jesus is the Lord, that today is your day to know this God and for Him to become your Lord and Savior, for Him to fight for you, for Him to be on your side, for Him to ensure your success in His way. Today may be the day for you. Perhaps you say, I already believe in God. I have accepted Him as personal Savior. And I have become a believer. Perhaps you have said that, but somehow you have not been baptized. My daughter wanted to be baptized, and we haven't figured out how this baptistry works yet. But in the days to come, there will be time when we will want to invite and encourage that you follow God in steps of obedience to baptism. Now, why is that important? Well, just remember the three steps. First is you reverse the roles with God. Let Him take control of your life, right? You hold on to yourself. Let that go. But the second is there is a commitment. There is an understanding and a need to obey, follow His commandment. And if you know God and yet have not been baptized, now may be a good time for you to make that decision and make that commitment. Because statistics do show that when people have come to know God yet fail to follow that experience with the baptism, a lot of them ended up either having a lot of doubt and questions in his mind or her mind, and some eventually even drifting away from the journey of faith. And we want to encourage that you not follow that path, but rather you learn and understands the importance and the meaning of baptism and obedience and commitment to follow Him.
On Friday night, we study Bible study, and we talk about how much God loves you. You know, if you love God and you're showing your love to Him, even if you don't know Him yet or you don't love Him quite as much, God is already loving you. And in fact, not only He loves you, what we study on Friday night was He is crazy about you. He loves you so much, He is crazy about you. He wants you to be on His side.
I want to issue the third invitation among you, that if some of you who have already known Jesus, been baptized, being a member of this church, yet you know that this is time for you to step up and to be a leader, to follow God, to serve Him in any way that He will lead your life, that today is the day for you to say, yes, God. Because in Him and in God's economy, He wants you to be truly successful. God didn't want any of His child to settle for the second best. In His mind and in His heart, He truly is crazy about you, and He wants to love you, and He wants to use you. But unless you are willing, unless you are ready to let go of those fears, unless you are committed to follow Him and obey Him, He cannot use you as a strong leader, as a committed believer. I hope that today, as we survey these two scriptures, passages, that you come to understand that the success which we have redefined today is the kind of success that you want for your life. It certainly is what I want to see you have. Let's bow with a word of prayer.
Father God, I thank You. And once again, it is Your own words that is powerful. May You be the one that also extend this invitation to each and every person in this room. That today be the day when we recognize Your love for us and the desire You have for our lives. Help us to respond to You as we sing. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.